The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you're with us on another very busy news afternoon. We got you covered on everything you need to know. And one of the questions that I'm asking today, is it time to just openly advocate for the end of the traditional media, for them to be unable to compete in a competitive landscape? Because journalism is dying in America, and it certainly is dying at the Seattle Times. Let me explain. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
On Saturday, the Seattle Times, in the print edition, which I still see in the rack when I go to the grocery store, there was the front page, above the fold story about the Senate race. Patty, well, you know, Joe Biden knows.
Patty Murphy.
Versus Tiffany Smiley. And it was a real hit piece on Tiffany Smiley, the Republican. Here's the headline. In new Senate ads, Tiffany Smiley uses an old GOP tactic, call out Seattle. And the story is talking about how Smiley is standing in front of an elementary school and a shuttered Starbucks. And then the article, which is written by one of the Seattle Times editorialists who masquerades as a reporter, David Gutman. He says, in so doing, Smiley, a Pasco Republican, becomes the latest in a long line of Republicans to use Seattle in its woes, actual or perceived, as a means to win statewide or suburban office. And then he says the state Republican Party has long pointed at Seattle as a cautionary example. So here's a little bit of the Smiley ad on crime.
These doors are closed because it's too dangerous to ask employees to work here anymore. Think about that. For decades, Patty Murray has spearheaded reckless policies that lead to shortages, inflation, and so much crime that you can't even get a cup of coffee from the hometown shop on Capitol Hill, even if you could still afford it. 30 years in the Senate, and okay, this is what she has to show for it?
Now, everything there is true, and spotlighting Seattle crime is not exactly an old GOP tactic, because crime has never been as bad as it is now. It is certainly a reasonable issue. Patty, here we go.
Patty Murphy.
Yeah. 2 years ago, she called for defunding the police. She's somebody who has certainly contributed to the crime problem. But the Seattle Times put the story above the fold on the front page of the newspaper. Now, there is another ad that is being run by
Patty Murphy.
And in this one, she says this about Tiffany Smiley and the Republicans.
What's at risk voting for Mitch McConnell's handpicked candidate for Senate, Tiffany Smiley? Everything.
I met with President Trump and I was so impressed.
Risking our democracy, since Tiffany Smiley still has serious questions about the 2020 elections. Risking women's reproductive health care.
I am 100% pro-life.
Putting Social Security and Medicare at risk. And Mitch McConnell as majority.
Okay. That's one that the Democrats do bring up every single election, that she will take away your Social Security and your Medicare. They've been saying that since I was a little kid. Republicans will take away Social Security and Medicare. Now, the Washington Post, not the Seattle Times, not the newspaper of record in the state where the Senate race is being held, but no, the Washington Post, which is a left-leaning paper, they fact-checked Patty, you know, her. See, I'm not supposed to say it anymore. People get upset when I say what Joe Biden says.
Patty Murphy.
Fact-check. The false claim that Senate GOP seeks to end Social Security and Medicare. And the Washington Post writes that Murray, who's been in the Senate, I'll just call her birth name, Murray, who's been in the Senate since 1993, is running against Republican Tiffany Smiley. Murray's tweet about them wanting to take away Social Security and Medicare is a succinct example of what we call Medi-Scare attacks, an effort to warn seniors that Republicans will take away their hard-earned benefits. But then the Washington Post goes on to say that it is a lie by Patty Murray, that Patty Murray cites one Republican congressman who's been rejected by the rest of the Republican Party, who has made suggestions about that. I mean, but he's as far out there as, you know, the squad on the left. And the Republicans never gave any of his proposed bills a hearing. And nobody in the Republican Party, save this one guy, has ever talked about getting rid of Social Security and Medicare. So what's the summation by the Washington Post? Well, when they fact check things, they give it the Pinocchio test. And the ultimate lie is four Pinocchios. And the Washington Post goes on to say, this is yet another example in which Democrats strain to conjure up a non-existent GOP plan regarding Social Security and Medicare. Murray earns four Pinocchios. Did that run on the front page of the Seattle Times? Nope. I see it on their website, but I was looking at the print edition of the Seattle Times yesterday and today. I don't, and maybe I missed it. If you have the print edition, look and see if you can find it. The Washington Post story that gives Patty Murphy four, Murray, I can't even help it anymore. Give her four Pinocchios. See if it's in the print edition anywhere. When the Times attack on Tiffany Smiley was on the front page. And this brings up a much larger question. How can we have true democracy, how can we have fairness in elections if most of the media is so shamelessly biased in what they call journalism? Now, am I biased? Yeah, I do a talk show. Are the evening shows on Fox News biased? Yes. Is every show on CNN just as biased to the left? Yes. Every show on MSNBC is even more biased to the left. You know, CNN calls itself a news station. They're trying to regain that. They can't. They're losing. People are rejecting it. People, I think, respect the honesty of things like this show, where I admit all the time that this is my perspective, the prism through which I view the world and sharing ideas and hearing feedback from you. But the Seattle Times pretends to be about journalism, but their bias is every bit as great as this radio show's bias. But I'm supposed to be biased. This is what talk show is. A newspaper is not. It can be on the editorial page, the op-eds, the columnists, but not on the front page of the newspaper. And I'll give you another example of this. Because when you have 90% of the media lined up as nothing but a PR ad machine for the Democrat Party, then it's really tough to have any semblance of fairness for elections in our state, in our country. So everybody knows that yesterday Joe Biden, he stood up at an event and he looked in the crowd, scanned the crowd for a woman who was dead, a woman who had passed away in a horrible car accident last month. And he, you know, they flew the White House flag at half staff when Representative Jackie Walorski died. Joe Biden and his wife, Jill, sent a letter to the American people, a statement of how sad they were that Jackie Walorski died. And then, of course, yesterday.
I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie?
Where's Jackie?
She wasn't going to be here.
I thought she was going to be here. Where's Jackie? Jackie died almost 2 months ago. Joe Biden flew the flag at the White House at half-mast. What'd the networks do with that? Nothing. Last night, ABC, NBC, CBS, Nightly News ignored the story of the president obviously, clearly giving the most egregious sign of his dementia. And then the pathetic cover-up by the White House in this horrible excuse for a press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre.
The president appeared to look around the room for an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month. He seemed to indicate she might be in the room.
Of course, she was on his mind. She was of top of mind for the president.
He said, Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just explained she was on top of mind.
The confusing part is why, if she and the family is top of mind, does the president think that she's living and in the room?
I don't find that confusing. I mean, I think many people can speak to sometimes when you have someone top of mind, they're a top of mind.
It was the most pathetic cover-up. This is a huge news story. The president of the United States has dementia. There is no denying this now. And ABC, NBC, CBS all ignore it? People on The View pretend like it's nothing?
You know, my gosh, come on. You can't go after him for, you know, not giving aid to Florida or not tackling the infrastructure. And he's giving aid to Ukraine. So you can't go after him for that. But you can go after him for forgetting that someone has passed. I mean, and she passed last month, not like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay?
Wow. That's quite an excuse for dementia. The View went on.
I think what it really shows is that this country is so ageist. This country has a problem with age. You know, you go to other countries and our elders are revered. Mm. They're revered because of the knowledge that they have acquired. And this is a man who has worked in government his entire life.
We're ageist. They just elected 81 million people just elected the oldest man ever to be elected his first time as a president. How's America ageist if 81 million people put somebody, and they even knew at the time that he was showing signs of dementia, but the president of the United States was looking for somebody who died, scanning the room, his hand over his eyes, shielding his eyes. And it's ageism? It's, oh, well, she only died 2 months ago. How could he forget that? It's unbelievable. Do you remember what CNN did when Trump walked down a ramp after a speech at West Point?
There are some questions this morning about President Trump's health. And it's because of this video of the president where you see him walking very haltingly, one leg at a time. It starts happening here. Down a ramp.
How is he walking? I didn't notice this the first time. How is he walking down the ramp?
Haltingly, one leg at a time.
What? He was walking one leg at a time? Why, he must have some serious disease because most of us hop down a ramp. You know, like it's a sack race. Who walks one leg at a time? What a great coup by CNN to discover that the former president walked one leg at a time down a ramp. That's a scandal.
Starts happening here. Down a ramp. And this is after he gave a commencement speech at West Point. So joining us now with what he sees is CNN's chief medical correspondent, Dr. Sanjay Gupta. And with what she knows, CNN political analyst Maggie Haberman. She's a White House correspondent at the New York Times. Great.
So then they have this big panel, medical correspondent, New York Times correspondent.
Good to see both of you. Sanjay, President Trump is not known for being athletic. So maybe he just has a hard time going down a gently sloping ramp. But do you see something possibly neurological that could be throwing off his balance?
Wow. So we're bringing in doctors who have never looked at the patient, and we're having them based on a video where somebody walks down a ramp one step at a time, and CNN was looking into if there was some neurological problems. Joe Biden scans the audience for a dead woman. You think there might be some neurological problems there, but nothing. And like I said, ABC, NBC, CBS, they all ignore the story. This is a gigantic and growing problem in America, that operations that call themselves new, and Maggie Haberman, who was part of that CNN panel to look at neurological problems, she works for the New York Times. So we're talking about some of the most influential media outlets that are supposed to be journalism, but they are not. They are simply an arm and a PR arm of the Democrat Party. And the Seattle Times is clearly, and the Seattle Times just today, you know, like I said, they picked up the Washington Post story. I don't see it anywhere in the print paper. They made sure the Tiffany Smiley story was on the front page. But also, if you go to SeattleTimes.com and look at the stories that they have posted right now, King County wants to add homeless housing. Trump docs probe, tensions flare. So Trump story. Marjorie Taylor Greene's husband. So a story about a congresswoman across the country. And then a story about Joe Kent in congressional debates. Joe Kent mocks vaccines. So Seattle Times is not about journalism. The Seattle Times has become a joke. It is so wildly biased. And this is how 81 million people, wink, wink, were deceived into voting for somebody who was in cognitive decline 2 years ago. But the fact that they are ignoring that the president of the United States yesterday displayed the clearest sign so far, and he's had many, but this was the clearest sign of his dementia. And then I got a break. But who's waiting in the wings if they invoke the 25th Amendment? Well, the vice president is. Kamala Harris spoke earlier today at the DMZ between North and South Korea. She can't go to the U.S.-Mexico border where she's the czar, but she can go to the North Korea-South Korea border. And this would be the president if they have to invoke the 25th Amendment because Joe Biden has cognitive serious issues. And then we got Kamala.
Vice President Kamala Harris touting the U.S. alliance with the wrong Korea while touring the demilitarized zone on her tour of Asia.
So the United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea.
No, our alliance is with South Korea. North Korea is the communist nation with a leader who fired a ballistic missile yesterday. He continues to test missiles with greater and greater range that could be equipped with nuclear warheads that could reach the west coast of the United States. And Kamala Harris thinks we have an alliance with North Korea. This is the greatest bleep show in presidential history. A president who is clearly in severe decline and a vice president whose brain works even worse than the president's. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Locally, a school district used to be a very respected school district in Bellevue. They hired a principal, but Jason Rance found some of the stuff this principal has been posting online, and it will shock you. Jason will join me live next as we get started here on the Dory Monson Show. It's for the children. Everything the schools do is for the children. Just 2 months ago, Phantom Lake Elementary School in the Bellevue School District, they hired a new principal. His name is Marcus Johnson. And some questions have arisen around Principal Johnson. Jason Rantz broke this story. It's up at mynorthwest.com. He joins us live. Jason, man, this principal's a little different than the principals that I remember when I was in elementary school in the Seattle School District.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Probably just a little bit different. Although, yeah. You know, looking at his Instagram account, he gave some information on his philosophy as a principal, some of his guiding principles, and I thought that, was rather inspirational. And mm-hmm. then, of course, you look next to it, it's got a bio that says, lover of smut. A video that was posted last Friday night of him smoking what sure looks like a blunt. And then, of course, the links to his very, very, very graphic erotic mm-hmm. fiction that he performed on his SoundCloud.
Yeah, and we can't play much of it, but here's just a little sampling of the principal's art.
I almost forget we had both already. He palmed and smacked my ass, flicking his tongue in while I gripped in bits of pillows. He locked his arms around my thighs, pinning me down and raised my hips slightly to get a view of what he wanted. He blew his warm breath against my ass and it back at him.
Yeah. So just real quick, I want hazard pay for going through about 30 minutes of this, and I had to send a note to the big boss lady saying, uh-huh. just so you know, if you guys are looking at our web history, I'm right. putting this through the transcriber. So, right. no, it's not me. It's for a story.
Oh, that's what they always say.
It was so graphic. Jeez. I was so uncomfortable. And look, at the end of the day, for me, this is a story about judgment. There's nothing that he did was illegal. There's nothing that he did that, you know, I would care about if he was just anybody. But I think the right. fact that he's a principal and he was posting this online on a public Instagram feed, I think that raises questions that need some answers just about his judgment, whether or not, especially because, you know, look, you're an elementary school principal and you're saying you're a lover of smut. I just don't think that that's appropriate. And I think most parents would probably say the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially in elementary school. He posted a video, but you didn't record this one as far as I know.
No, I've got the video up. It's just he doesn't say anything on it. He's smoking what looks to be a blunt. Not that yeah. I am aware, but of what that looks like. I did go around the office to the people I suspect might know. And I said, hey, what do you think is going on here? And they all said pretty much the same thing. Now, I did yes. reach out to him, by the way. He did not respond to any of my requests, but all of his content was taken down.
You know what I'm really sick of, and I'm really serious about this. You contacted the Bellevue School District, and they said they do not comment on personnel matters. I'm really sick and tired of school districts hiding behind that, because these are public institutions. We are the ones who fund their district's budget. We are the ones who pay the individual's salaries. And if there's something going on that is compromising the safety of our kids, then we deserve to have an open, transparent, line of information mm-hmm. about this. And I really, you know, if it's a private company, I can understand them saying we can't comment on personnel matters. When it is a public government-run institution, I'm sick and tired of hearing that.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, obviously, there are some things that they can't actually legally tell you, but they should be able to at least confirm what I was hearing, which was he was placed on leave. I don't know whether or not it was considered a suspension, but there's apparently an investigation going on at the district level from HR. Teachers yesterday were made aware of that. Apparently, they were made aware that there would be some media coverage of this because they knew that I was looking into it. I think you should be able to confirm that. And again, I haven't heard anything concerning whether or not he is a good educator. I haven't heard any of that. And I gave the district ample opportunity even just on background, to just say, hey, is there any more context you want to give me about this situation and about this principle? And I got back the line, we don't comment on personnel issues.
Yeah, although
there was one weird part of the email, though, that the spokesperson sent saying, you know, in hopes that you'll be fair and balanced, we hope that you'll reach out to some of his colleagues over his academic career. I'm like, I'm reaching out to you. I'm not going to reach out to go back like 10 years to see where this guy worked. This is not a question as to whether or not he's a decent educator. I have no idea. I will assume for the sake of the argument that he is. It's about the judgment to post this stuff online. He is in a different kind of position. This is a position over children. And I have to imagine that some elementary school students are going to go to the principal's Instagram account. And if this were to get out in a significant way, I think it's questionable.
Well, you cited Bellevue School District's policy 5253. District employees are prohibited from inappropriate online socializing or from engaging in any conduct or social networking websites that violate the law, district policies, or professional standards. Like you said, this doesn't violate the law, but if this doesn't violate district policies and professional standards, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, again, most reasonable people will say that. Now, is this a fireable offense? I suppose it's subjective. I don't necessarily think it is, unless there's some more in his background that maybe we ought to know about that we don't. This is a guy who's new to the district, 2 months in, as you point out. You know, we'll see what comes of this investigation. My guess would be they say a written reprimand because it does violate professional standards, and we're going to see what happens moving forward.
So how far back in his social history were you able to go? Stuff posted that preceded his July hiring?
Yes. I mean, this was his Instagram account for as long as he had it. So I went back. We saw a lot of, again, screenshots of some of the erotic fiction that was written. Again, very graphic, and I demand some hazard pay for reading through it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a lot of stuff that you probably would expect of someone who he looks like he's in his mid-30s is my guess. So, you know.
But it was all there when they were interviewing.
Yeah, and I don't know if they just didn't look at it or they did and didn't think anything of it. I have to assume that they didn't look just based on it still being up.
They put him on leave right now. So, yeah. I mean, why would you hire somebody that you're going to put on leave when it's pointed out, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I just am wondering if this was up when they hired him, if we are so concerned with DEI, which school districts are obsessed mm-hmm. with, and he is a black man, this is gay porn, not that that should have any effect on things, but if they hire somebody who has this kind of stuff posted because he checks boxes instead of prioritizing, is this the best person to be the leader of an elementary school for our children? They tell us that everything is about the kids.
Yeah, and I will say, and this is based because they haven't given us any information, it's certainly possible that his bio went up or changed on Instagram after he was hired, because that's not something that we can trace. I don't suspect that's the case, but I don't know for certain. It seems to me that you can find a lot of this stuff if you did a quick search of his social media, including some of the erotic fan fiction. Mm-hmm. That's how it originally was presented. But it was... I'm traumatized. That's all I can say.
You said you can look at... I'm not going to look it up, but if you will continue to sift through it for me.
I downloaded it. Do you want me to send it your way?
No.
I'm going to make some of it my ringtone.
A Pasadena. All right, Jason Rance, you can hear him every afternoon on 770 KTTH. The story's up at MyNorthwest.com. Great stuff. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
All right, lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. By the way, you know, I don't get too excited about guests that we have booked, but we have one tomorrow that I'm very excited about. Nicole wasn't very familiar with this guy, but I was very excited. I'll mention this to him, but I don't watch a lot of TV shows, but in the last few years, two of my all-time favorite TV shows, The Americans and Ozark. Great shows. When I was a little kid, I watched The Waltons every Thursday night. And the reason I loved it so much when I was like 10 years old, my mom had choir practice. And since I didn't have a dad, my siblings were quite a bit older, I never ate at a dinner table with family. I would either sit at a table by myself, or my mom would set up TV trays and we'd eat in the living room with TV on. And that was it. And I loved going to my friends' houses, friends who had moms and dads and siblings. I loved being invited to have dinner with them because I just loved being at a family dinner table. And that was kind of when I made up my mind that I remember this. I was like 10, 11, 12 years old. And I remember thinking, man, when I'm older, I'm going to get married. I'm going to stay married. We're going to have kids, and our house is going to have laughter. And dinner time was really important for me and my wife when our girls were at home, because I just craved that when I was a little kid. So anyway, Thursday nights, my mom would go to choir practice at Calvary Lutheran Church in Ballard, and she would drop me off at my Aunt Sissy's. Aunt Sissy lived alone, just a few blocks from us in Ballard. And Aunt Sissy, she had a job, so she had way more money than us. And she would buy a small steak at Food Town, and she'd always fry it, because my mom never could have steak. And she'd fry me a little steak, and we'd sit and watch The Waltons. And I loved watching that show because I loved the family scenes at the dinner table. Anyway, long story short, Richard Thomas is going to spend a half hour with us tomorrow afternoon from 1:30 to 2 o'clock here on the Dory Monson Show. And I was thinking, what a career. Waltons was the number one show in America in the early 70s. 50 years later, Ozark, I think, is the most or one of the most talked about shows. And he has a role on Ozark. He had, I think, 40 episodes of The Americans. What a career, and busy working the whole time. And I hear he's a very nice guy, too. So I'm looking forward to that.
Wait, are you going to tell him why he's coming on?
Oh, yeah. He's going to be playing Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird at the Paramount in about 2 weeks, starting October 11th. Mm. I'm looking forward to seeing that, too. So now I have to figure out, Nicole, because all my you got my childhood crushes, or you didn't, it was before, mm-hmm. but Goldie Hawn and Olivia Newton-John, I got both of them on the show. And now all my, because TV was my babysitter when I was a little kid, and I've had Fonzie, Henry Winkler on, Hawkeye Pierce, Alan Alda, J.R. Ewing, Larry Hagman, and now John Boy Walton, Richard Thomas. Who's left?
Well, just Billy, but I've given up on him.
Oh, Billy Joel?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get my rock stars. Yeah. That would be let's start that pursuit again.
Okay.
And Brooks Robbins.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Okay. Anyway, Richard Thomas tomorrow on the big show. The Fast 15's coming up next. Joe Biden said something today that almost everybody in America agrees with, except me, of course. This is one that'll probably make everyone angry with me. We'll talk about it next on the Dory Monson Show.